Welcome to the Freud's Angels podcast, where two highly intuitive women dig into everyday problems using our connection to the divine, psychology, and energy work.
We support you in your self-awareness, growth, and aid you in your shadow work. Now we're your hosts.
I'm Vanessa.
And I'm Grace. Let's get into the show. Hey, angels. Welcome back to the Freud's Angels podcast. We are on episode 172, and Miss Vanessa, I think I'm going to lean heavily on your information today. What are we talking about?
Well, that may be a mistake. We'll find out why as the podcast goes on. So I think it's a good one to talk about. We talk about a lot of woo-woo stuff. We talk about, you know, some, you know, therapy stuff, but I feel like, you know, I feel like this is a really good one in general. Like this is a good idea for any podcast that has anything to do with mental health of any kind. Yeah. Because I really do think that it is very friggin' confusing out there. And it continues to get more and more confusing when it comes to like therapy and counseling and what it is, what it provides, who you're supposed to go to, what kind do you need. Like it just gets harder and harder instead of easier and easier, right? Regardless of access, I feel like this is a major thing. So, you know, kind of in a cheeky way, you know, we're talking about the flavors of therapy and what flavors are delicious. What are they, you know, kind of thing. And when I say that it may be a mistake to lean on me heavily, it is because I've detached so much from the clinical therapy world that I'm like going into the recesses of my mind to be like, what is that called when you do that, right? Because there's a lot of practices that I do that are called something and I just don't call it that. So
yeah,
I'm kind of like, oh, shit. It's like a test, like, oh God, the exam is here and I know the like some of the information, but I don't know the words that go with it.
And I think too, is it's hard because like we enter these, like it's the same with the spiritual realm, right? We yeah. enter this with the idea of what we see and what is publicized, but then we kind of go into this and we kind of get programmed. And then after we kind of come to the realization of understanding, we're like, okay, now I got to deprogram everything I learned and figure it out because it's totally not what they said.
Yes.
And, you know, and the fact of it is too, is that, you know, I think too, is that, you were saying something and I'm trying to remember it because it just left my brain as I started talking. What were you talking about? Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
ADHD moment. Okay. No idea. No idea. That's it's okay. Gone. All gone.
That's okay. It'll come.
Yeah.
It'll come. Yeah, it'll come. Because I mean, well, this kind of idea was based on, you know, something that you had discovered or had been working on in therapy. And I thought it was like, I was like, oh yeah, okay. And then obviously I get into my own head of being like, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to say it? I don't want to commit to anything, yeah. right? Like, because that's my biggest thing. Like, well, I'm not going to just like own it. Right. Like we can talk about it, but I'm not going to own it. So,
right. So what it came back. Thank you.
Okay.
Awesome. Gave me a moment to like pay attention to something else and it showed up again. So the reason I think this is important and understanding the different types of therapy is important. And also understanding sometimes it doesn't matter and why, you know, it's not to say that if you've had this some type of therapy the whole time and you're like, this works for me, I'm finding great success with it, then great. We're not saying don't do it. We're not giving you any, we're just giving you information for you to digest and make an action and take action that is right for you. So and I think too, is it's hard right now. You talk about labels and you talk about, you know, the different types of therapy, the internet itself, like social media has infiltrated with all of these different types of quote unquote therapies.
It hurts.
And then people think that that's exactly what they need and they go seek it. But then what they don't understand is that when you think about, not every single one of us has the same brain. right? Mm-hmm. We don't have the same hormonal makeup. We don't have the same brain chemistry. We don't have the same woundings, traumas. Like, maybe they're similar, but none of them are going to be exactly the same.
Yep.
And so when you take something like a type of therapy and you think that that's what you need, you're missing some of the nuances of what therapy really is.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
It's just like, I only want that. You're missing, you're limiting yourself to all the things that could possibly help you.
Yeah. Which was my major, the major problem with me and school was that they were like, you need to pick a theory. And I'm like, I don't want to. Like, I can't pick a theory. Like, you had to pick a theory to align with. Even just saying it is, I'm like, how does this count as education? Like, why did I have to pay thousands of dollars for this? Like,
yeah,
pick a theory and own it, right? Like, how does your brain work in the confines of these different types, right? Like psychoanalytic or psychodynamic or humanistic or gestalt or whatever, like pick a kind, and then all of your experience goes through that, right? Like, that's how you're going to treat people. And I was like, I don't want to do that at all. That sounds horrible. That sounds like a really bad idea, right? Like, just in general, like, not just because I'm adverse to being controlled. I'm like, this does not seem like a good idea, especially when it comes to mental health and the individuality of humans. I just don't, whatever. But you want the degree, Vanessa, you better do it, right? So so I went ahead and aligned with, I believe, person-centered. I don't even really remember. Person-centered at the time, which is funny now, because like now I'm like, Jung had it all right in my mind. But like,
yeah,
person-centered to me seemed the closest to, well, it's who's in front of you and then you decide kind of thing. But yeah, like I think we're kind of trained to do that way. And what you just said has happened to me multiple times, and it happened to me, like, to myself, you know, trying to put myself out there saying, well, what kind of therapist are you? Like, what kind, you know? And I'd be like having a list of the things that I do. And I'm like, I remember somebody going, well, you can't list everything. You have to pick like four, or else people are going to think you don't know what you're doing. And it was like, that also doesn't make sense to me, because then I'm missing something. Like, what are you talking about? So it was like that. But then I would have people come and they would go, well, my friend does DBT therapy and they said it works wonders for them, and so I need a DBT therapist.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, that's not how it works. You know what I mean? Like, you can't possibly know that, first of all. But second of all, like, I don't like that even for your friend, because there may be some things that your friend can learn from somebody who has an expansive viewpoint,
yeah,
too, right? Like, that could help them. I don't like the idea, but it's all marketing. It's all part of the you know, as therapy has caught on and people have loved to be in the spotlight for discovering new things. I mean, we love that, right? Like, ooh, I discovered a new thing. Like DBT, Marsha Linehan, she was a patient, a mental patient who healed herself and created DBT, right? Like, so if you actually think about that, like, okay, why can't my clients be the ones that lead their therapy? If she's the one who created this big kind of therapy, what? Like, how could we in this community actually hold on to that, but then also negate the client's, like, responsibility for themselves, right? Like, and take responsibility for them. Like, it makes me crazy. It makes me crazy. I mean, that all being said, DBT has great stuff in it. It's literally CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, which is changing the way that you think so that you can change the way that you behave, for people who feel intensely. How ridiculous. I really say it out loud. Like, so you add on a couple little interventions, right, to handle the intense emotions. Like, it's crazy, right? So it's not to say that those things are bad. I use all of those techniques at one point or another, but I refuse to label them because I don't want people to do what they're doing of saying, well, this is the kind that I need. This is the kind that healed me. And so it's the best one. Like,
yeah.
You don't know that, man.
Yep. 1000%. And I, you know, and I think too is that the it's very similar in this in the energy therapies realm too, right? Mm-hmm. You have 900 different flavors of Reiki. You mm-hmm. have different other healing modalities. You have mm-hmm. universal healing. You have all these different things. And it's like, they want to, they, it's like, you think you need to use your title. Like, oh, I'm a Reiki mm-hmm. master of four different modalities of Reiki, or, oh, mm-hmm. I'm this and I'm that, and I'm a teacher and IET. And I have all those certifications. I am mm-hmm. all those things, but I don't feel that it's a good way or a good indicator of a good or a good fit with mm-hmm. you. You know what I mean? Sure. Like mm-hmm. it's the same thing as like the reason why, I mean, y'all know that I do the hollow bone journey, and that's something that I've been enmeshed in since, wow, 2018 at least. And 2017. Wow. Okay. It's, I'm like, wow, it changed my life, but I also understand it's not for everybody. And I also understand different people are going to like different things. The reason why I love it is because it brings all of my modalities to the table. Like sometimes yes. I'm doing Reiki, sometimes I'm doing IET, sometimes mm-hmm. I'm doing universal healing. Like there's different things mm-hmm. that it comes with. And that's why it's so important to me, because it takes the idea of, dude, you don't need to have a title. You just mm-hmm. need to be integral. Mm-hmm. You just need to see your client as a human and wanting to help ease their suffering and offer all the things that you know, do, and learned to help ease their suffering. And, yeah. you know, the best therapists I have found, especially my current one, it's like we do little tiny flavors, like little pieces of each of those that you were describing. And I don't need the whole thing because of whatever reason, or it's not appropriate in the moment. But if I told her, I just want you to do CBT on me, and she just does one thing, it would take me probably longer to get where I've gotten if she isn't in her sense of like her feeling or her psychology intuition. Like there's an intuitiveness when it comes to psychology, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
Mm-hmm. You need to be aware of your client in order to know what to use and where to take them, because you know them at a very intimate level that no one else does. And so if I knew what I needed, I probably wouldn't be in the mess that I'm in emotionally and mentally.
For sure. For sure.
If I knew that this was the thing, I could easily go online and find out like armchair therapy myself, like, and totally like have, well, why do I need a therapist to do that? Like it's online. You could probably figure it out yourself. Why, you know, but it's not, but it's, they're missing the point. I think sometimes is yes. Okay. Say I would love to try CBT therapy. Maybe that's the thing for me, but don't put all your eggs in that basket. Be open yeah. to trying a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, because all it is a group of techniques. Yes. That's all it is. Like CBT is a group of techniques, and we just called it a kind of therapy. It's like you can't, to me, and I feel very strongly when I say this, you can't heal if you only use CBT. I'm sorry, you can't, because not everything is cognitive behavioral, right? Yeah. Especially we're sitting in this space. We know some of it is energetic. That is not at all part of either CBT or DBT, the energetic part of it. But I 100% know and believe in that being part of it. We have to be able to move our bodies, move the energy somehow, some way. It has to be part of it. So like, it just doesn't work that way. It's a group of techniques, and that's okay, right? Like, but I want that. I want people to get that, like, is to understand, like, it is not a special thing that is only a one and done kind of thing. But, you know, like to be, you know, conspiracy about it, I just believe specialties were created for education purposes, for like marketing and all of that kind of stuff, to be honest, because you go way, 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 way back before college was a thing and before you had to pick all of this kind of stuff. And like you went to a medicine woman or man and they pretty much had all of it. Right? Or they would figure it out. And that made more sense. You come to me with your ailment, I will find the thing that helps your ailment. Right? it didn't have to be so like, well, this is all you're allowed to do, and then somebody else has to do this part, right? Like, that's something that we've created in our society, I think, started out maybe innocently and has just gone rampant, right? Like, and so it's turned into something that it is harmful more than helpful.
And I also think too is that I also wonder, and this is just me being curious and wondering, whether that was done for a way to get people of who didn't live in the therapy world to understand and to be more comfortable with the idea of therapy, right? The idea of, if I give it a label, or if I give it like, this is a process, or I give it, because when people are in trauma, my thought is sometimes they grab on to something they know and something concrete, what it may lead them into therapy. But if they're open, they can try all the things, even if it's not just that one thing.
Well, and I think that that's a learned behavior, truly, yeah. Because again, like, the learned behavior prior to all of this was that you found the healer and then you went and you trusted them to give you the healing, and that you didn't need to know exactly what was going to happen. You trusted them to give you the healing, right? Like, and I feel like that's what was taken away, and we've been trained to do that. Like, that's a learned behavior of ours to be like, well, I need to have a label on it so that I know what's happening. Like, yeah. The label is the healing. Like, that's the label that we need to have. But, you know, a lot of it comes from information and education and communicating with other people what's going on. So I get it. I'm not saying like that all the labors are super terrible. I'm just saying, like, I feel like we've grasped onto them in a toxic way. And like, that's what I try to explain to people whenever I go into the spaces, that I'm like, we don't need to like vilify it and say it's super terrible, but being able to say there's so much more than any of these things, and that sometimes the combination of 10 different like kinds of therapy is your special sauce, because you need one from everything, right? And that sounds like it should be like, oh, no therapist could have that, but we all have access to it. And if I sit down with a client and there is something that I'm not 100% sure on, I have colleagues and information that I can go get that from, and I can say to that client, hey, I'm not familiar with this. I have people who I can get information from, you know, so that I can help you with this. Or if you think that's your big major issue and that's all you want to address, we will find you a person that only addresses that. And then you come back to me whenever, you know, when you feel like that has been cleared, right? And for the most part, most people are kind of like, they understand that way, yep. Right?
Yep.
Versus, you know, having it have to be like either this or that. Because this, I do also think this is why people stop going to therapy, because they show up with somebody who has one modality, it doesn't work for them.
Yep.
And so they think that that's what therapy is. Yep. And it's like, but that's also why, like, the experience that you're having with yours, when you go to somebody who is open, who is constantly learning, who is as curious about you as you are about them, they're way more dynamic. They have way more things, bags in, or tricks in their bag that they can pull out than somebody who has only decided that they're going to work within these certain modalities. And I find that to be more beneficial. It's a better use of my time. If I go to a therapist that has a lot of different things in their bag, way better use of my time than somebody that I have to go to for this, and then go to for this, and then go to for this.
Yeah. I 100% agree, because, you know, my therapist and I have had conversations, like, she's taken all the certifications, all the courses to understand it, but sometimes it's not something, like, we were talking about brain spotting and EMDR, and she's like, I know how to do it, mm-hmm. but it is not something I use consistently. If you want to do it, we're happy to do it, but, you know, that's up to you. I just will need some time to refresh my understanding and kind of go back to those spaces, because it's not something she used. So one of the thing that sparked this conversation about our labels was is IFS therapy. And for those of you who don't know, it's the internal family systems. Is that what it's called? Yeah, the internal family system. So way back when I was in Sedona, my first therapist there, she used this concept with me. And I didn't understand it fully at the time. I was like, I'm not sure what you're talking about. She's talking about firefighters and managers and court cells and exiles. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? But it's all the parts of us.
Yeah. It's like Jungian archetypes.
Yeah.
In a different language.
So it's taking this idea, but the idea that there are parts of me made sense. And so I kind of hung on to that. And my next therapist, because my therapist left, I'm so sad. My next therapist didn't really encourage that. But it wasn't until I kind of got here that I really doubled down on it, right? Mm-hmm. I doubled down on not so much the words that they use. Like I would say, looking at it, like, oh, I don't know. I think my firefighters is more my brain. And mm-hmm. in some parts of my brain, my wounded self is my exiles. Mm-hmm. And my, my manager is just my teenager. Like, it's like, I use it, but in a way that is not maybe exactly like what is depicted in the names and the labels, again, labels, but it gives me understanding and the ability to connect with all the parts. But my therapist isn't like specialized in IFS, but she understands it enough to encourage me and to have conversation with those parts and to understand how I use them. And she adapts her understanding to know like what the names of my parts are, right? It's like,
yeah.
She knows that I don't call them firefighters. I call it my brain or whatever,
right.
That part that keeps me safe or whatever.
Yep.
And so it's kind of that sense of like, yes, these are great, like, core understandings, but I don't know. I just think if we give ourselves the freedom sometimes to say, I want to try it, but I'm willing to be open to using it in a way that's right for me. Because absolutely. Sometimes I see my therapist, she's like my concierge with therapy. She knows what I need in those moments or understands what I need or may need in those moments. And she tailors each session based mm-hmm. on what that is. And yeah. So she's more that than she is like, she's a behavioral health therapist. She's going to use CBT or IFS. She's just going to dip into all of her knowledge and understand me in a very dynamic way that assists me.
Yeah, this is where, I mean, honestly, like I was saying before, you know, I was all like, well, I'll just choose person-centered, whatever. And I'm like, like Carl Jung, man, that dude was way ahead of his time because he talked about shadow, he talked about universe, he talked about like archetypes, which is basically what we're talking about, but he used the language that they used back then. So yeah. It doesn't connect with us today. So we changed the language and used the same concept, right? Like he was brilliant. Actually, when you actually look at it, because he took like away from Freud, he's like, yeah, you know, some of that stuff like makes a little bit of sense, but it's too harsh, right? Like it doesn't take into account for magic shit that's happening, things that are not like things that are not explainable, dude. Like you can't explain some of this stuff. Something weird is happening, right? But like, let's embrace it. Let's embrace the weird that's happening. Let's talk about how energy actually exists and the energy body somehow exists, right? Like we don't know the science of it, but if you pay attention, you feel it. Like he was that guy. He was barely breezed over in school. And now I'm like, oh my God, like it's everywhere, right? Like the IFS is archetypes, right? In a different language so that we can understand it, right? And it works for some people. And a lot of times what is best for people is presenting something and letting them do it. Does this work? Try it on. How does it work? If it doesn't work the way that I presented it, how does it work for you? Because it's your empowerment that gets built during that. I have a friend who was telling me about like kind of like the voices in his head, right? Like, but then he's like, I mentally image put people in like what feels like their jail cells, right? Like, because there's some parts of me that like need to not be out because they're just not trustworthy, right? He's like, and I know when I have a certain day, I know who got out of their cell, right? Like, and he explained that to me, and I was like,
I love that.
Thank you. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, that's you need to know yourself, right? Like, and so whoever it was, he's gone through a lot of therapy. You know, whoever it was that allowed him to create that within himself so that he could understand himself. It doesn't have a fucking label, right? Like, there's nothing to really 100% call it this kind of therapy, but man, it works for him. That's how he's able to manage. Beautiful, right? Like, it's taking ideas and not holding strong to them and taking that label and making that label the be all end all. It's kind of like offering ingredients to you. What bread are you going to make? What bread do you like the best? Right. But again, like, I feel like that, it feels like it feels like it would be putting too much pressure on therapists to know everything, but it's, to me, it doesn't feel overwhelming at all. Like, I'm fine with, like you were saying with your therapist, like, I've had clients that have gone off to go do EMDR and come back to me. I've had clients who go off to go do some energy work and come back to me. It's not about having everything within me. It's about me understanding the integration of you as a person in the world and all the ways that it affects you and all the tools that you need to gather from wherever. You want to go to Home Depot and Lowe's, that's fine. Right? Like, we're still building a toolkit here.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love that, right? Like, and you just described it perfectly of, you know, how it can be so helpful when you have somebody who's like, I'm presenting this to you. What does it mean to you? What label, what words do you need to use in order for it to catch on with you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how successful that idea of labeling our parts has been for me. I am more kinder, understanding, and I have more empathy and compassion now that I see it as parts, because it's harder when you're like trying to have it for yourself. But if you have a part of you that you understand their dynamic, you can invite that compassion and understanding and support in a vastly different way. Like, When I'm making like big risk decisions and that part of me is activated, they're like, but what if this happens? And what if we die? And what if we have no money? And what if we're like homeless on the street and we don't have money to eat? And she's like going off at like 900 miles an hour and she's so terrified.
Yeah.
And I can sit there and say to myself, look, I get it. I get all those fears. I understand where they came from. I get why you're so scared, but I'm going to be with you through this whole process and I will never let that happen. I will never let that happen. And so it's like, you know, they talk about reparenting yourself, right? It's not about reparenting because my parents sucked, but it's about becoming your own ally in the grand scheme of your mental health, right? Mm-hmm. Giving yourself the support and the understanding of, oh, maybe this is more than I can give support. So I go to my therapist, I go to my energy worker, I go when I'm incapable of doing, giving the support that part of me needs, that's when I take it to them and I take it to them to get that support. And that's kind of just, you know, it's opened up the door for me and it changed my life, man. But it's not going to change everybody's life, right? It's how I work the best, but it's not how everybody works the best. But that's the fun part about trying it. That's the fun part about having a therapist who says, yeah, what about this? Because then you get to find something and make it your own and make it be successful for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're finally like kind of starting to really understand the inner child work, right? Like, you see sometimes memes that are like, you know, who's running my brain, teenage me, early 20s me, or, you know, 5-year-old me, right? Like, yeah, like that's exactly what we're talking about here. Right? Like, because we're just trying to figure out where did the skills not get developed? Because that's who I'm acting like right now. Right? Like, where did I stop growing emotionally in this space? Because that's who I'm going to act like. If it was, I'm going to act like a petulant teen. If it was during that time that I didn't receive those skills, I'm going to act like a 5-year-old having a temper tantrum, throwing shit. If that's where I should have learned those skills and did not, right? Like that's part of it, right? Like, in that, again, like sometimes that labeling helps people, right? Mm-hmm. With couples, man, it's so easy. Like, people are like, oh, now that you've told me to treat them like a 5-year-old having a temper tantrum because they don't know what they want, but they know they're not getting it. I can talk to them in a different way than me thinking that they're an adult trying to be an asshole, right? Yeah. Because that's not what's actually happening. Their inner child has now kicked in because that's where they didn't have the skills. And I'm like, yes, amen. That's what we need to do, right? Like, there's your inner child came out. Your inner 5-year-old came out. Not because you're a messed up individual, but because literally that's where those skills weren't learned. And so that's, you know, that's what you could access. But this is what, so Inside Out 2 is coming out soon. And I can't freaking wait. Disney, where it's a Pixar movie. And what you were just talking about is part of that. The mental management, right? We've got joy, we've got sadness, we've got anger, we've got disgust, right? And they show how inside the brain, this is when disgust takes over, this is when anger takes over, this is when joy, you know, and that sometimes we need sadness in our joyful memories because it deepens our experience, right? And so I cannot wait for Inside Out 2 because I think it's gonna, you know, it's going to add on, you know, Riley's a teenager now, and it's going to add on the different kind of management inside her brain based on her experiences. And that's kind of like what we're talking about here. If we can't see it that way, if we can't see it as like, who's in your brain,
yeah,
who's making those decisions, whose voice is it that's telling you that? Because we want to talk to that person. We want to change that person's mind. We want to figure out why they would even do that kind of thing. Yeah, it's like so much more helpful than just, man, I can just remember being like opposite thinking, right? And they'd be like, well, whatever they're thinking, and if it's bad, you tell them to say the opposite. And I'm like, that doesn't fucking work. Like, why would I keep doing that? That's the dumbest thing. Like, it's not working. It makes people feel really bad about themselves,
yeah,
because it's wrong. It's fake. Right? Yeah. Like, oh, I'm the worst person ever. I'm the best person ever. Like, we can't do opposite thinking. No. Not when you're like that. Like, not, right? Like, yeah, that's
not in the trenches, man. I are you kidding me? Like, I couldn't tell myself like that I love and approve of myself. You know, I tried, it worked a little bit, but it wasn't the thing that sustained me. What sustained me was like, hey, yeah, I get why you feel that way. But can we look at it differently? Can we see the parts of us that are in the opposite? It's, mm-hmm, yeah, it's like I could never talk myself into saying like I'm an amazing human. Like, I have to see it for myself. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And so many of these like theories that again, like I think it started out innocently. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of like the first, I mean, think about psychology is not that old to begin with.
Yeah.
Right. It's like 100 years old. Which, yeah, it, we're like, oh my God, 100 in terms of science, it's a tiny baby, right? Like, there's still so much that we learn about the brain every single day. You know, neuroplasticity was like a major, like, holy shit. Like, and we just found that out like not that long ago, right? So, like, taking it with a grain of salt of being like, evolution is great in this. We should be free thinkers in this. We should be continuously having hypotheses that we are testing by talking, right? Like, we're not going to hurt each other by talking. We're not going to invalidate each other by talking unless we decide to keep teaching ourselves that that's what we're doing. And like, yeah. So a lot of these theories and all of this stuff is because it's brand new, because people are making discoveries and they're like, oh my God, I discovered this. Just like we all do, right? We discover something, we're like, holy shit, you need to see this, right? Yeah. Same thing, right? Yeah. But we are in a society so desperate for healing that we're holding on to it too tight. And that's, yeah, what I think the whole point of it is to be like, look at things, put your finger on every single one of these things and see what it is that you do or do not like. It's okay to have a mix of everything. You don't have to hold on to one thing as the Lord and Savior. If it doesn't work for you, open up to other things. You know, the pandemic was good for that though. Like, I feel like the pandemic, people got so desperate, they were willing to try spiritual things. Good for us.
Yes.
Good for us all, right? Yes. We needed that. People needed to be back in contact with their spiritual side.
Yeah, or even just their energy. If you don't like the mm-hmm. word spiritual because it denotes religion to you, then energy. Mm-hmm. Like, we're made up of molecules that vibrate at a certain intensity. Yeah. And that's what it is. That's what energy is. And we're just doing our best to help. There are people that are connected and closer to that life force energy than others, and we help assist when blocks. Like, it was totally the combination of therapy and the energy work that I've done and learned mm-hmm. that has totally changed my life. Like, it was the combination that yeah. was the spark of this podcast, was mm-hmm. taking all the information we know about our brains, our behavior, the psychology, all of that, but using it through the lens of our heart, the lens of our spirituality, the lens of our connection to spirit, the lens of that part of us, right? Yeah. If we can take what we know and use what we feel and understand and intuitively know, then it's like you have the whole buffet, not just half. And it's so important. And that's why I think when I find my therapist now, is she is so on board with that type of stuff. And in a sense, not that she's like, you need to do some more, you know, healing work or whatever. She trusts that I know when I need those things. Mm-hmm. But as she is so into hearing about them, understanding what happened, you know, we break down the things that I discover, or maybe the dreams that I have. And she like, okay, well, how do you like, what does that mean to you? Like, what yeah. is you think it's stirring up? So she's taking all this vast amount of experiences that I'm having mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and helping me kind of use it all in order to be on this healing journey. Mm-hmm. And it works. And I say this because the last 3 years, I've been here for 3 years. Oh my God. And while they have been some of the hardest of my life, they have been the most, I've healed more in 3 years mm-hmm. because I'm using all the modalities, all the things. Yeah. I'm using the therapy, the energy work, the body work, all of the things together to help me heal. And that, mm-hmm. I've made more advances and strides in all parts of my life and all parts of my health than I have since I left the East Coast, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it just accelerates my evolution and accelerates my healing, accelerates me understanding my trauma, being supportive of it, understanding where I need to be supportive. Like, for example, I have a lot of anxiety around certain things. And so I ask the questions I need in order for me to understand it. And so I feel safe in doing things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I never would have done that before without this understanding of anxiety and psychology. So yeah, mm-hmm. sorry to go on a little rant, but it's so important to me, I think, that we understand we're more than just one part of us. Mm-hmm. You can't, it's like the load is the load. And if we only heal part of the load, right, the other part becomes heavier and it becomes more weighty and it becomes more impactful. Mm-hmm. And so if we kind of don't go in it from a dualistic kind of sense, then we're not really lightening our load. We're just creating stress in different areas because we're not being supportive of all the parts of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I think that that's, you know, again, like, not to be conspiracy wise, but there's a lot of learned behaviors that are meant for like controlling us, and, you know, all kinds of things that are in there. When we really go into people's programming, sometimes we find some stuff that we're like, there's literally not a reason why I believe that, other than like it was obedience, like, and it sucks, like it's a painful discovery, but it's a freeing discovery because it's like, oh well, then I don't have to do it. Right? Yeah. Like, then I don't have to be that way, and I don't have to think that way, and I don't have to behave that way. That's so freeing, right? So, you know, I think that there's, you know, a lot to it, of it being about the personal journey and the understanding of self that makes it so individual that you can't slap a label, one label, on any one person, because there's so many dynamics to dig into. But that, to me, is the beautiful part of it, right? Like, to me, that's the thing that everybody's screaming out for, right? Like people talk about the intensity of people's emotions and the intensity of how people are like constantly trying to be heard. And I really believe it's related to how we've been categorized. And people don't like that. It does not make you feel special. It makes you feel very unseen if you're in a group of people who are depressed, right? Yes. Versus me saying, tell me what your depression is like. Your depression is your own brand. It is your own flavor. It is not like anybody else's. Tell me what it is. And I will give you a toolbox that is yours, only yours. Yes. Not the same toolbox I gave to this guy, and this guy, because that's going to make you feel really bad if something doesn't, you know, doesn't fit or doesn't work or, you know, feels like BS to you, right? Like, I feel like it's all tied in together because that's, I mean, people are screaming for help. They want to be heard. Everybody's saying they're not being, not everybody, that's too black and white, but like a lot of people are saying they're not being heard, they're not being understood. And it's because of this, because there's tons of labels being slapped around that everybody has, right? So it's like, you and I are this, we both have ADHD. That's not, but we're not the same.
Yeah.
You're not listening to how hard my ADHD is because yours isn't. Like, how did we get there? Because it's not specific. Who are you? That's all I need to know is who are you? What are your difficulties? I don't care what label is anywhere. I just need to know you, your difficulties. What are the things that are going to make your life easier?
Yeah. And unfortunately, like sometimes taking the shame and the stigma out of it is by we understand, oh, there's more than just me that struggles like this. And it's kind of a freeing thing. But if we stop there, that's when it becomes too much. That's when the label becomes restrictive. If you stop at a sense of, oh, I have ADHD, and you don't go farther into it in a, well, what flavor do I have? There's ADHD, but there's like 100 different flavors of it. There's different symptoms. It's like people that have, you know, that have like, it's like autoimmune diseases. We all don't have the same symptoms. It affects different parts of it. It's the same way with everything else. It's, I understand if we feel we're not alone, that helps us feel better, but don't stop there. Keep going beyond that label of what you are to seek, like, what part of ADHD do you have? What affects you the most? Because it may not be, I mean, you may not have cognitive, you know, dysfunction. You may feel like you're okay, but then you can't, but this part of it is more pronounced. So don't stop with the label. Understand that that gives you the freedom to be in the label, but like, keep going, keep investigating, keep being curious about how it's affecting you, and share this with your therapist, your doctor, your psychiatrist, whomever, and really kind of try to have the curiosity and the desire to understand yourself on such an intimate level that you know how to support yourself. That's I think what therapy does for a lot of us is we understand and are aware of ourselves more intimately than we ever have. Mm-hmm. And we have the understanding of, oh, when I'm in this moment, that part of me needs this, or I have anxiety. So if I take these steps, I can support myself in not having anxiety or reducing it. So,
I mean, I think a lot of the things that we talk about when we talk about labels, like specifically, you know, like we were talking about depression, anxiety, ADHD, all that kind of stuff. It's like, if you can kind of see it as like your hair color, right? Like, or your skin color, you know, where you're just like, it exists on me. It is, well, what do I do? If I have light skin that burns in the sun, I put sunblock on it. Like, or you know what I mean? Like, and that's it. Like, that's the end of it. I just need to figure out what to do to live. I don't need to compare myself and be like, well, my skin is worse. I get a worse sunburn than you. So therefore I need something different. Like, nope, you both need sunblock, right? Like, and you may need SPF 50 and you may need SPF 100 and that's it. Like, that's the end of it. We just find the thing that helps you not get sunburned.
Yeah.
Period. Right. Like, we don't wear it like, well, because I need 100 sunblock, I have to go over here with the 100 sunblock people and we are lesser in this society because the sun burns us harder than everybody else. Right? Like, it's a ridiculous example, but that is exactly what we do with all of these things, is that we go, oh, it's a label. And so now I'm going to compare it to some other label that doesn't exist. There's no such thing as normal. There's no such thing as like a normal anything because everybody's different. We're just looking at normal in comparison. Where is the thing that I need to be normal in, right? Like if I work outside, then I need to make myself normal in the sun. So that means that I need to put sunblock on so that I don't burn, so that I can continue to work in the sun. Okay. So if my brain is not an organized brain, then I need to figure out how to make it an organized brain so that I can work in that environment, right? Yeah. Because that environment is the thing that I'm actually bouncing off against, not my worth in society. It's the environment that I've put myself in that I'm not functioning in.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Because when we start to compare with others, we tend to miss, it's like life, throughout this whole podcast, I keep hearing like, it's because we've learned that we have to compete with each other.
100%.
That we feel so alone and unheard that if we don't compete with each other and get angry about it, like we, you know, really polarized about it, then we're not heard or we're not valid, or we feel that that person's pain is devaluing the pain that we have. And it's
a learned behavior. So much of it is learned behavior when you really sit down and think about it. But that's a freeing thing, right? Like whenever we discover a learned behavior, we're like, ooh, that means I can unlearn it. Like it no longer has to sit here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And it's like, you know, if you talk about like my realm of the work that I do, is like, I could sit here and be like, oh, I don't do it as good as that person, or I'm not as connected as that person. And that doesn't mean that that part doesn't come up sometimes, because I've always been told that, but I have to understand is that the impact I've made on the people that I've worked with, that I've served, or that, you know, that I've taught, they've all had major shifts in growth, and that alone is validation for that. So it's I could compare myself to every healer out there, but we're not the same. I say this all the time. We are different flavors. We bring different energy and a different vibration. No one is better than the other. They're going to, the right one will meet you where you're at and give you the tools or the energy or the healing to get to the next step. And maybe that means you change because your vibration shifts.
Yep.
And this person is better. None of us are in direct competition. We're just different.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's very, very true, but again, like not quite what we've learned. You know, like as you were talking, I was thinking like, I'm not the best defenseman in the world, but I'm very valuable on my team for lots of reasons, right? Like it's not just my skill, like, right? Like it's a lot of different reasons, right? Whereas there might be somebody who has less of this over here and more dominance on the ice, and that we both need to be there, right? Like we both have our value because we, you know, like we need both to be part of the team, you know? And I think that that's, you know, exactly what you just said, is like we've kind of forgotten that part of it, right? Like to be able to just say, hey, find the one that fits you, just like clothes. You try on the clothes that fit you. You don't get angry. Well, I mean, some people get angry, but at the same time, like you have to accept, it's radical acceptance. That piece of clothing is not for my body. Yeah. I don't feel comfortable in it, right? So I just put it back on the friggin' rack and go get the one that I do feel comfortable in. And that's it. That's the end of it. I don't have to go on a campaign to talk about how this is the worst one and this one's the best one.
Yeah. And totally. 100%. It's, yeah. But, you know, that's...
I love my ridiculous analogies coming out today.
I thought they were great.
It's been a while since we... That used to be like in my sessions, I'd always be like, here comes one.
Yeah.
Here comes
visualizations.
One. Yeah, like weird ones. They've been coming back around later, or as of late, which is very entertaining for me.
Yeah. Love a good visual. Well, friends, you know, I really, really, really hope we've given you food for thought. I hope we've encouraged you to, if you're in therapy or you think you want to try a therapy, to try it, but do so with an open heart and an open mind. And allow yourself to experience the special sauce, like Vanessa says, that is right for you and the right therapist. There are right therapists for people. Some are not. There are some that I can't know. There's no way. But that's the gift of just trying it and moving on if it doesn't work. It's just, we have to keep trying because there is that magic that is there for us in therapy. I really feel it. I've experienced it. So I know it's real.
100%. It's real. And I'm not just saying it because of the side that I'm usually sitting on, but because of being on the other side of receiving all kinds of different therapies. 100%. Like the right ones, but you, in the, you know, the wrong ones aren't that fun, but it's part of life.
It is part of life. It is.
They have something to tell you too and to teach you as well.
Yes, they do. They'll give you more information about what you don't want than you ever would have known without it.
Yes.
So if you have any questions, please reach out to us. You know where to find us. Just a reminder, coming up on May 11th, I'm doing a pop-up. It's what the pop-up is for is just readings or healings. And I'll post a post with a link to be able to schedule if you have questions or whatever. It's a good time to check in. I'm doing this to help, you know, I'm considering a cross-country move and this would help me greatly. So thank you for all that want to schedule. I appreciate you. But if you want to check in with spirit, see what the energies are like or help you make a decision, whatever that is, or maybe you just need some love, whatever that is. I'm here for that. There'll be a link hopefully somewhere at some time soon to schedule. But love you guys. And if you need us, you know where to find us.
Yes. Love y'all.
If you were triggered by anything said in this podcast, please dial 911 or go to your local emergency room.
To more deeply understand your unique emotional reaction to today's podcast, I'd love for you to connect with me. You can find me at VanessaPerryCounselor@gmail.com or at www.vanessaperry.net.
And if you wish to take your healing further through energy work or channeling angels or the highest level beings, please reach out to me, Grace, at graceevergreen.com or graceevergreen@outlook.com. And always remember, you are loved,
you are worthy,
and the world needs your light.